to the Gospel of Matthew, which is Matthew, chapter 15. Today's message is entitled, Yeshua Feels Compassion for the Nations. Have you found that true to be in your own life? No matter what tribe or people group you come from, Yeshua has expressed his compassion to all of us. But you know what Yeshua had to deal with from time to time? Prejudice. And prejudice in his own Jewish people. What did you say, Rabbi? The truth. So let us begin. Verse 29. Yeshua left there and went along the shore of Lake Kinneret, which is the Lake Sea of Galilee. And he climbed a hill, and then he simply sat down. And large crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind and the crippled, the mutes, and many others. They laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled people cured, lame people walking, and blind people seeing. This had never been done before them, ever. And you may be thinking, wait a second. Good, I got your full attention. Let's continue. And then he said the Barucha. And they said the Barucha to the God of Israel. Wait a second. This is a different people group here. Because they're saying Barucha or blessing. They're blessing the name of the God of Israel. This is a people group outside the confinements of the people of Israel. Remember the title of the message? Yeshua Feels Compassion for the Nations. And so he's left the nation of Israel and he's now going into the territory of the Gentiles, the territory of the nations. And he's doing something here in mass that he's never done before. And who is he demonstrating this before? 12 select people who happen to be men who are what? His Talmudim, his disciples. And he wants to remove prejudice from their hearts, minds, and souls by following after his example. Let's continue. Verse 32, Yeshua called his Talmudim and he said to them, I feel sorry for these people because they have been with me for 3 days. And now they have nothing to eat. Talk about long congregation services. All right? We're not going to go on for 3 days here. That's both 3 days and three nights. Okay? Because there's many times we read the scripture and it's just like we speed read. I've read it before and I know what it says. And Ruach, Spirit of the Living God, I don't need any more revelation. Have you ever been there? I have. And the Lord has rebuked me, and the Spirit has opened my eyes if I'm willing to be taught by him. So let us continue. And now they have nothing to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry because they might collapse on their way home. Now remember, who is this? This is the Gentiles who are what? The enemies of Israel. And what has he just done? He's healed them. He's blessed them. He's shown them the heart of Abba, Father, God, that is full of compassion. There are times when God gives his compassion that comes as a parent disciplining a child. That is still compassion. Because God's desire is that he would not lose one. But what does God, Abba Father, battle with? In his decision this, he's given all of us a what? A free will. Follow the traditions of men, the customs of men, or do you follow the literal word of God? that is being revealed to you by the Spirit of the living God. That you would not be bound by any custom or tradition of man from any nation, but you may be able to walk in the freedom of the Spirit of the living God. Because these 12 Jewish men are steeped in what? Their tradition and customs, which at times has led them to prejudice. Yeshua wants to reveal the truth to them so that they may be delivered. Let's continue. Verse 33, the Talmudim said to him, where will we find enough loaves of bread in this remote place to satisfy such a big crowd? They're out of their comfort zone here. They're terrified even to enter any of these villages. Why? Because they're ruled and reigned by the enemy, the Gentiles. Let's continue. Verse 34, Yeshua asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said seven and a few fish. Some of you may be wondering, I thought you preached on this just a few weeks ago. I did not. Last week in Matthew chapter 14, 15 through 21, he was doing this miracle to the Jewish people. And who bore witness to the multiplication of the bread and the fish? His Talmudim. And now he's pulling them out of their comfort zone, putting them in a territory of the enemy, is now saying this to them. What was done in the past and your prejudice now must be laid aside. I'm sending you to be a light to the nations. That was Israel's divine call. To forever be a light to the nations. Let's continue here. Verse 35. After telling the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the seven loaves and the fish, and he made the barucha. All right. Barucha ta Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam bohore mine mezono. Hear the words now. Blessed art you, Hashem, our God, the King of the universe, creator of all kinds of foods. Then Yeshua broke the loaves and gave them to the Talmudim, who gave them to the people. What people? The Gentiles, their enemies, sworn enemies. They're feeding their enemies. They're now, what are they doing? They're heaping coals of fire upon their enemies, that they may see the light of God, feel the warmth of God, and be refreshed and restored. They're doing acts of kindness. How do you win your enemies? By praying for them. By ministering to them. By sacrificing for them. And telling them the truth. These 12 Talmudim are shaking in their boots. How do they know the very next person they walk by will not pull out a dagger and do them in? They are in the midst of the enemy's camp. And Yeshua is sending them out as lambs to minister. This is a brand new revelation. Because from Matthew chapter 14 to Matthew chapter 15, some Bible scholars have said this. There have been 6 months that have passed. Why? Because Yeshua had his 12 Talmudim sitting before his feet with having no distractions whatsoever. He has just simply demonstrated just the last few verses of healing a Canaanite woman's daughter. Another enemy. Is he mashugana? That means in Yiddish, is he crazy? Has he lost his mind? These are the enemy. But you know what they see happening before them? As they pass out the bread and the fish, just as before to the Jewish people, okay? To the people of the nations that are gathered here, the multiplication of God's blessing for sustenance. Because these people, have you ever stopped eating for 3 days and fasted? Are you about to run a marathon? Or when the enemy breaks through the walls, are you ready to stand up and defend yourself? Absolutely not. You're vanquished. All right? So let's continue here. He gave them to the disciples, and everyone ate their fill. Then he took the 7 large baskets full of the leftover pieces. Those eating numbered 4,000 men, plus women and children. After sending the crowd away, Yeshua got into the boat and went off to the region of Managan. All right? Now let's just focus what happened before. In Matthew 14, 15 through 21, those of you who were here the last time, there were what? 5 loaves, 5 barley loaves, and there were 2 fish, which came about at the end after everyone received their full, 12 baskets full of pieces left over. What is the significance of the 12? Literal testimony, evidence in those Talmudim's hands of the provision of God and multiplying whatever God has provided for you to have to minister to others. Okay? So now, let us now move forward on that portion. These are 5,000 men plus women. That means 5,000 wives if everyone's married. 2 children per family. Okay? So we have 10,000, 5,000, and 5,000. Approximately 20,000 Jewish people had been fed. Okay? Matthew 15, 29 through 39. Here we have 7 loaves and a few little fish. It doesn't tell us how many. But at the end, after everyone receives their fill, what is gathered up? 7 large basketful of leftover pieces. And I did a little research on this. Both nations, the nation of Israel and the mixed nation of Gentiles, because they weren't just all one nation, they were a mixed generation, they had different types of baskets. The baskets that are revealed of the 12 baskets, because we know from the scripture is this, what? Who gave the lunch but a little boy? He gave it to Andrew and Philip, all right? And that was just a small little basket that you would take to put like a lunchbox, all right? A first century lunchbox, okay? So that's what they received, just that small provision. Now, as Yeshua is now doing this before the Gentiles, these baskets are not 12, but they're 7. What's the number 7? The number of perfection. And these baskets are the size of a large clothes hamper, even larger than that. Because I want you Bible scholars here to remember this. When Rav Shaul was being persecuted in a Gentile city, and there were walls up high, it says this in the scripture for you Bible scholars. They placed him in a basket, and they lowered him down so he could escape. So now picture this, if you will. These baskets are the size that a grown man, Randy, could fit inside of. Stand up, Randy, for a second. Randy is taller than I am. He's over 6 feet tall, and he's 200 plus pounds, okay? All right. Those that are listening on the podcast, I had to give that information so you could know what we're talking about. These are the 7 baskets of both fish and bread that is now returned. God's abundance, even in a greater way. Because God wants to be a blessing to the nations also, okay? So in this portion here, we have 4,000 men, and let's say they're all married. 4,000 wives, plus their 2 children, which are another 10,000. 4 and 8 and 10, that's 18,000, okay? So now what we have now is we have a brand new opening of a brand new deli. It's Yeshua's Kosher Deli. 38,000 plus served, okay? There's my levity. I'm not very good in comedy and jokes, so there it is before you, okay? Now, if you want to turn quickly to Mark, because as we've been doing here, Mark chapter 7, and I may not complete this sermon at this date, and that's fine, all right? There are over 2,000 words that are mostly scripture that the Lord directed me in writing this sermon. It would be impossible for me to give that out in the allotted time. Would you not agree? Good. No debate. So Mark chapter 7, beginning at verse 31. Now you may be saying, well, why are we turning to Mark? Matthew is a revelation to the Jewish people in their culture and in their customs. Mark is a revelation to the Gentiles, specifically the Roman culture, okay? Luke is to another group, and Yohanan, John, is to another group. And we'll get into those details at another time. So here we are, Mark chapter 7, 31. Then Yeshua left the district of Zoar and went through Zidon to the lake, the Sea of Galilee, to the region of the 10 towns, okay? Matthew leaves this out, all right? And they brought him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment and asked Yeshua to lay hands on him. Wait a second, I didn't read that in Matthew. You see, there are certain things that Mark has to bring out and define so that those who are hearing the message, the good news of Mark, will fully understand the custom. So he gives more details. And at times he focuses on different aspects. The word of God confirms itself time and time again, okay? And they brought a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment and asked Yeshua to lay hands on him. Now remember, who's bringing them? These are the Gentiles. They had heard of the miracle-working power of God. And there were some Jewish people that were sharing as they traded goods with the Gentiles, because they traded goods with one another. We believe the Mashiach, the Messiah, has come. And he's performing miracles and turning the hearts of the children back to the fathers. And the hearts of the fathers back to the children. He's raising the dead. He's doing all these things. So when they hear that Yeshua is in the vicinity, he hasn't been blasting commercials. He hasn't had a PR group go before him. It's simply by word of mouth. All of a sudden, can you imagine the 12 Talmudim? Yeshua is standing there. And then there are thousands. They're surrounded by thousands of the enemy. But what do they notice? They're bringing their sick and their lame. All right? Because you know what? This is what they've learned. Their gods can do nothing for them. And they've heard the one true God. Remember this. Israel is a light to the nations. That they would know the one true God. Why was this book authored by Jewish people? Because salvation is of the Jews. Our Messiah, Mashiach, comes from him. Do not be offended if you're part of the nations. Rejoice and know this, that you know your Yeshua. You have salvation in him. Remember this, God says of his ways, they're beyond your ways. That's why he chose the least, most insignificant people of this earth, who Satan has been trying to destroy forever. You want proof that there's a God? The Jewish people. And if Hasatan and the nations who want to do right now, they want to divide up the nation of Israel and destroy the nation of Israel so that the proof, the evidence of that God exists will no longer exist. And who's behind that? Satan, Hasatan. Let's move forward now. And taking him alone, verse 33, away from the crowd, Yeshua put his fingers in the man's ears. Do that right now. Just put your fingers in yours, okay? And then he spat. You don't have to spit on your fingers. Please don't do that. All right? Put his fingers in the man's ears, and he spat, and he touched his tongue. So go ahead, imaginally, just reach out and touch somebody's tongue, okay? Now, I have to tell you something. There's only one time I've ever read in the scripture, okay, that Yeshua did this, all right? Nowhere is it recorded that any of his disciples did this, his Talmudim. And faith healers today, do you see them putting their fingers in people's ears, spitting on their hands and touching people's tongues? No, all right? That was a one-time situation. And he simply did the will of the Father. So I've had people ask me about this. What is the significance of all this? We're not told. You know why? as Yeshua was told to do certain things that the Father asked him to do that was out of his comfort zone, wait a second, what did he just say? Yeshua was both God and man, okay, in human flesh, and the things that the Father asked him to do, there were times when Yeshua questioned that. How can you say that, Rabbi? Remember when he was in the garden, and he said, Father, if there be any other way. Have you not questioned the will of the Father? I have. But when I submit to his authority, then I can walk in his provision and grace and do what is pleasing in his sight. Because it's not about me and my reputation. It's the Father's reputation. It says this, we're to proclaim Yeshua, that when his name's proclaimed, that all people will be drawn unto him. Not of any of his servants, because my days are numbered and I am like a vapor. I will vanish one day. And if I have not proclaimed and pointed people towards Yeshua, everything that I might did on my life means nothing. Your relationship with Yeshua is the most important thing that you ever have. And that's what Yeshua is revealing to them, these Gentile people here. I'm revealing to you who the Father is in Jewish flesh that stands before you. Because I am also, Yeshua speaking, not the guy behind the mic, I am the light to the world that brings about redemption. Let's continue here. Then looking up to heaven, Yeshua gave a deep groan and said, Hipatach, which is spelled H-I-P-P-A-T-H-A-C-H. That means that be opened. Now remember this. Who's this person that's speaking? But the one that created everything that was created by the power of his word. He is the Father. Wait a second, Rabbi, you're going down that path again. He's the Father of all creation. He's not Abba Father. He's the Father of all creation. As you study the scriptures, you will see that revealed to your hearts, minds, and souls. Every one of you in this room, everyone who's hearing this podcast sometime in the future, you were formed and shaped by whom? But by your Redeemer. Because I put this question to many, many people many, many times. How can Scripture say this, that no human being, I know it says man in most translations, but no human being has seen the Father? Then who did Moshe see? Etc. They saw their salvation before them. Let's continue here. His ears were opened and his tongue was freed and he began to speak clearly. Yeshua ordered the people to tell no one. Wait a second. Are you nuts? Are you Meshuggah? Right now there could be a great revival, Yeshua. Talk about your mega congregation. Are you kidding me? But you know what he said earlier? He is sent first to whom? The lost sheep of the house of Israel. His calling is not complete, but he's preparing those who are going to be left behind, the Talmudim, the disciples, who are to walk in no prejudice against any male, female, anyone from any other nation. He's to proclaim the word of God in truth to them. And the signs and wonders followed them who believed. Not in doing miracle signs and wonders, but who proclaimed in the salvation of the Most High God. Because I tell you this, how many of the Jewish people that received the bread and the fish actually became his Talmudim and made other Talmudim? Some of you may be saying, well, there's only a few people here in this congregation. How can you keep going? We're to do this. We're to make Talmudim. the disciples. That's what this congregation is all about. We're not here to make a mega congregation. If you want to be a part of that, go there. You may be saying, don't say that. We're about the Father's business, building up one another in Messiah. The leadership here are not lords over you. They are encouragers, they are equippers, and they are blessers. We want you to be walking in the full counsel and ministry and calling that God has established in your lives. Many times we forget that one time Yeshua took off his outer garments and wrapped a towel around himself and took a basin and started washing his Talmudim's feet. Okay? Think of the leadership of the seed of Abraham walking in that example. That's what we're doing here. We don't care about numbers. We care about those who are called and sent to this congregation, that God is using our gifts to bless and anoint, to encourage. Don't go there, Rabbi. To rebuke, to exhort, to affirm, and to encourage. That's what a Talmudim disciple maker does. Because you always hear this from our lips. Follow the word of God. Hear Yeshua's voice and allow the Spirit of living God to reveal his truth to you. We can debate until the Lord returns. But if we're not making Talmudim, we're not fulfilling, making disciples, we're not fulfilling God's call for us as a congregation. That's why Yeshua's congregation would fluctuate from 12 to thousands. And there were times when the 12, there was only really three that were following him closely. Remember this. The son of perdition was also part of his inner circle of 12. And that's why we do not stand in judgment against anyone. But we have to do the will of God and protect God's flock in every aspect. One individual on our board does not make one decision. It is that as a group. I'm accountable to these other three people that the Lord has raised up in this congregation as a co-equal. In most congregations, that is never done. And those congregations are weak. Why? Because there's not accountability. And that's what Yeshua is teaching here. Accountability to his Talmudim. Pulling them out of their prejudice, pulling them out of their former customs and traditions of men, and hearing the Father's voice and walking therein. It's as simple as that. All these Jewish traditions are wonderful if they exalt Messiah Yeshua, but when they start to cover him in any shape or form, they are just like any other tradition from any culture on this earth. If it does not magnify Yeshua, it becomes works of men and traditions of men. And there are many messianic Jewish congregations, don't call the rabbi, stop, that walk therein. We as a congregation are to be Yeshua observant and not Torah observant. What did he say? Yeshua fulfilled Torah. As you're being led by the Spirit, he will cause you to fulfill Torah that he desires you to fulfill. See what the Father is doing. That's what Yeshua said. He simply arose and he did it. It's that simple. It's that not that difficult. But what do? We put on laws, regulations, traditions, and customs to hamper the word of God going forth. Let's continue here. Yeshua ordered the people, tell no one. But the more he insisted, the more zealously they spread the news. And he knew that was going to happen. They could have seized Yeshua and said, hey, we heard that those Pharisees, they're rejecting you. Why don't you come over? We'll receive the message. What happened in the future? That was true in some certain instances, but not in all. There were hundreds of thousands of Jewish people who went forth and sacrificed their very lives that you, all of us, could receive the good news. The people were overcame with amazement. Everything he does well, they said. He even makes the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Mark 9, 1 through 9. It was during that time that another large crowd gathered, and they had nothing to eat. This is Mark's rendition of it. Yeshua called his Talmudim and said to them, I feel sorry for these people because they have been with me 3 days. They have nothing to eat. If I send them to their homes hungry, they will collapse on the way, and some of them have come a long distance. His Talmudim said to him, his disciples, how can anyone find enough bread to satisfy these people at a remote place like this? How many loaves do you have? He asked them. They answered, 7. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and he made the berukah. Here we have 2 blessings that are separate. In Matthew, they were combined into 1. Here's the blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Lechim minuan haretz. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who's brought forth bread from the earth. Okay? And then he broke and he passed out the fish and making the berukah. And this is so the nations could hear the blessings. He said this one, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam bohore mini mizenot. Blessed art you, Hashem, our God, King of the universe, creator of all foods. And why is this separated in Mark? Because he's speaking to a people who have never heard these customs and these traditions. Over them the fish, and he also ordered them to be served. The people ate their fill, and the Talmudim took up the leftover pieces, 7 large basketfuls, remember? Big enough for Brother Andy to be carried around in. Verse 9, about 4,000 were there. And after sending them away, Yeshua got into the boat with his Talmudim and went off to the district of Damietrua. Yeshua is doing 2 things in this passage. He was demonstrating that he is the Messiah in order to drive the truth more and more deeply into his Talmudim's hearts. You may say, why in Scripture things are repeated over and over? So that it'll go from our head, down from that 18 inches approximately, into our hearts, which is fertile soil. Because if it remains in our heads, you know what happens? I debate the Lord. I debate my brothers and sisters in Messiah. But when the Scripture goes from my head down into my heart, it falls upon fertile soil, and then life is brought. Amen? The second point I'll end on today's message. In a most direct way, Yeshua was teaching his Talmudim that they were to minister to the needy, no matter who they are. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? There's your example. Here was a Levite and a priest. And they saw that fellow Jew. And how did they know it was a fellow Jew? He was wearing tzitzit. Okay? And they didn't even come near him. But who came to minister to his needs? An outcast. One who had been intermarried with the Jewish people when they were backsliding. A Samaritan. And what did he do? He raised that person upon his own donkey. He added oil and wine to his wounds. He brought him to an innkeeper, which was basically a big house in a local village. All right? And he brought them there, and he nursed him. And he gave money to that person and said, I'm going to a next village. I'll do some trade when I come back, if there's anything that's beyond the money that was spent in your care for him, I will repay you. God wants us to be people of compassion. But you know where he has to begin? In revealing to us the truth of our prejudices. We're a messianic congregation. If an Arab person walked in our midst, what would be some red flags would be flashing in your heads? You don't need to answer. There are Arab Christians who love Yeshua with all their heart, soul, and minds. And they love the Jewish people. And they've received God's covenants. And they know their place in God's kingdom. And they declare this to you: I love the Jewish people, and I too am a son of Abraham, which they are. Many times we'll watch the news and we'll be swayed this way or another. News, to keep you, they have to keep making more and more fantastic stories, right? When you hear about someone dying in a mosque, you should be praying. Praying for the survivors, that God's comfort and peace would come upon their hearts, and that they would come to know Yeshua as their salvation. If you omit some of the scriptures, and I'll finish on this, that talk about the sons of Ishmael coming and walking and rejoicing when Yeshua sets up his eternal kingdom in Jerusalem, it states about that. He declares, Egypt is my son, and other nations as his sons and his daughters. We should be filled with the compassion that the Lord has. For then we will be doing the Father's will. Amen. Shabbat shalom.